What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
Wow, I came in super hot with like cheerleader energy.
I loved it.
I was like, ready? Okay.
I'm awake.
That was a ton of energy. Wow, Taylor. All right. Today we're doing a topic that I chose. I mean, I don't even feel like I need to say that I chose it. I feel like it's going to be very apparent. Today we're talking about social anxiety. If you're not watching the video, I'm doing spirit fingers.
Delish.
I mean, very excited about it.
I'm excited too. When you told me this is what we're talking about, I was like, boy, how much time do we have? Because
yes,
it hits me at my core.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Constant. Yeah.
Constant.
It's constant.
Well, let's kick it off with a quotable. Do one of you guys want to read the quotable?
I'll read the quotable. It is so good. I took a little peek at it beforehand and wow, I've been needing this in my life. Okay. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. by C.S. Lewis, submitted by our helpster, Kia. Kia, thank you so much for sending this our way. And goddamn, C.S. Lewis.
I want to snort that quote.
Very good. Very good. Put it in the veins. Should we read it? I'm just going to read it one more time. I always feel like we need a second lap through with the quote when they're good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. I thought something similar to that this week where I was stressing about saying the wrong thing in a situation. And I said, you know what, Taylor? You can't do anything about it. It already happened. Mm-hmm. So what is the point in panicking? Just move forward. Also, nobody cares, but mostly you can't change it. There's no way to erase what's already happened. And that was oddly free.
That's amazing. And I wish I could feel that every time I go through a moment like that. And it's just a good reminder.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
C.S. Lewis, reminds man.
Me. I mean, this one is not as, as eloquent, but it reminds me of like, the analogy of like, you know, you can't move forward if you're always looking in the rear view.
Yeah.
Or if you'll crash if you keep looking by.
Yeah.
Yes.
Looking over your shoulder. Anyway, absolutely. You guys get me. You guys get what I'm saying.
We do get you.
You will crack your parents, you. Look at all the mirrors that go backwards.
True.
Oh, boy.
So, should we get into some stats and just some good information on social anxiety?
Yes. Let's do the definition first. For any of our listeners who happen to be cool, who are like, what's that?
Stop social listening anxiety. To this show is not for you. Yeah.
I don't know why you're here, but you've stumbled upon something that is not for you. Social anxiety, or in other words, social phobia, which sounds so much more serious, is a condition in which social interactions cause one to have irrational anxiety. In other words, intense anxiety or fear of being judged, negatively evaluated, or rejected in a social or performance situation. So what does social anxiety feel like? What triggers it? Is it safe to say everyone suffers from social anxiety to some extent? I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, we're obviously going to get into it. Do you guys feel like you have a lot of social anxiety, medium social anxiety, not that much? Do you feel like it is something everyone deals with? Or do you know those people who are like, I'm fine wherever? I personally know people who are like, I can talk to anyone. I'm good.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely on the higher end of the social anxiety spectrum, although it's I only know myself, right? So it's hard to compare that to other people. And I do think that generally, if you put me in a room with somebody, I can probably make conversation with anybody, right? But there are a lot of situations, especially with our job, Taylor, with being in comedy, where you're in a green room with a bunch of comedians, or you're in a crowded bar area, that gives me a lot of social anxiety. How about you guys?
Yeah. Delaney, how about you? Because you, Delaney, you seem like you have the least social anxiety of the three of us.
You know what it is? I don't feel anxious around like a group of people or a lot of people. I get fucking tired. I get drained. Yeah. So it's not like I'm not really worried about what I'm saying, or if I'm saying something, if they're going to take it a weird way, or I'm more like, I'm tired now. I want to go home. You know, I have maxed out my, you know, social interaction energy juice. And now I have to like, try to stay like I'm looking engaged enough to where I'm not being rude. So that's my, I guess that makes me a little anxious. Like, I don't want them to think I'm not listening to them. I'm just maxed out. I'm a super introvert, and being around a lot of people really, it drains my energy. It has nothing to do with them. It's just how my brain operates, my personality. So that's where my kind of anxiety comes from, I think.
Well, they talk about that too, the definition of an extrovert versus an introvert, that if you put an extrovert in a room with a bunch of people, that's going to give them energy. Whereas an introvert, it's going to deplete it. It's sucking it out of them. So, and I think all three of us are introverts.
Yeah. Whenever I picture an extrovert, I picture someone in a party just like starting to glow, like just starting to like suck up, like an X-Men, just like sucking in the energy and becoming more and more powerful.
Yes.
And I hate that.
Yeah. And then I'm with so an jealous. Introvert, it's like a Dementor in Harry Potter, which is like sucking your soul and your energy out. Yes. Although when I'm in a small group where it's a group of best friends, I feel very extroverted then. That gives me energy to be around my best friends. But if it's people I'm not that familiar with or a bigger group, I feel like an introvert immediately.
Oh, same. This is, for me, this is all about people I don't really know very well. Maybe it's a party with acquaintances, or some people are meeting new people for the first time. But when it's people I know really well, I don't feel that type of way.
Yeah. Right. How about you, Taylor?
I mean, I think I have pretty bad social anxiety. I think I've gotten good at managing it. So I don't feel pressured to go to anything anymore. I think my anxiety gets really bad when I feel like people are pressuring me to do things socially. Yeah. So I do have certain friends that I've had to set boundaries with and go like, I don't want to do that. It's not going to be good for me. I do have to like plan out my social interactions like daily. Like I always give myself a buffer in between seeing people. I can't go from like hanging out with someone for 3 hours to like going to dinner with somebody else.
Right.
That's just too much. I need to like reboot. I do think I get in my head less than I did when I was younger. I think when I was younger, I was shyer and I was more worried about what people thought of me. And now I don't do that as much just because I think I've gotten to a place where I accept that most people aren't thinking about you. And that is comforting. Yeah. But definitely like if I said the wrong thing, I will play it over and over again in my head. I mean, Kelsey and I flipped out after we made that TikTok video. That should have been this episode. We should have recorded the hour we spent on the phone that night after we got home from Delaney's house and just us unraveling on the phone.
And I didn't know how you guys were even doing that until later on.
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened? Don't do that to yourself.
Which is such a perfect characterization of our group. That Taylor and I are in a full panic meltdown and Delaney's just high eating a burrito. Like, what? I didn't even know that that was a thing you could have found anxiety in.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we found some. We found a lot, in fact.
We found it. I mean, social media gives me social anxiety. That's the thing that's so hard is like, you can't get away from it. Now, if I go on, I don't go on Twitter very much. And if I tweet a bunch and like, somebody likes it that I think is too cool, I'm like, they're liking this ironically. They don't think I'm funny. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird? Does that happen to you?
Yeah. Where I'll read way too far into those sort of things. My social anxiety with social media is crippling. I've really had to figure out some sort of healthy way to operate on social media because it is a huge part of our careers. I look at my best friends from home who do not need to be on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or anything for their careers. And I'm like, wow, I know that everybody has hardships in life and stuff like that, but I look at their lives and it just seems so much more simple. And yeah. I'm like, God, that just looks really peaceful and nice. But the social media anxiety, I'm learning that if you are trying to open yourself up to a certain point, you're trying to grow your following, almost everything you post will have some negative comment from somebody. Yeah. It's getting to that point where it's not just like your friends and family seeing what you post anymore. It's anybody. And there's a bunch of people online who are horrible people. And it's... Oh my, you know what I should read to you? Let me just, in this moment, while we're talking about social media giving us anxiety and reading too far into things, this was within the span of like 3 minutes the other day. I got these two comments that were not, they were on two different videos. This is just to illustrate that you can get hate from people within a very short amount of time on different things. So one person left a comment on my video. I did a, do you guys know that what do you meme filter that's going viral right now on Instagram?
No.
It's so much fun. I'm completely addicted. There's a filter on Instagram that will shuffle through captions and you make a face, like you make your own meme based on the caption. It's a blast. I've been having so much fun. So anyway, I posted a video of me doing that. Some guy says, decided to be fair and go through your whole page and have determined that still no woman is funny.
and it kind of
made me laugh because it's like, why would you tell me that you went through my whole page? Like, that's so sad for you that's how you're spending your life, is that you're going to go through my entire page to do a clinical study of whether or not you think women are funny. Anyway. And then somebody on TikTok, totally different app, totally different video, leaves a comment and says, I didn't laugh, but everyone else seems to like it. So good video.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Why have shared that? that?
Why say anything? Anyway, this is so just
funny.
Sometimes I don't know if it's helpful or interesting for people to have a peek behind the curtain of the sort of comments that you get on contrast. Social media if you're trying to grow your following. And it's just, it's an everyday thing I'm trying to handle now and not let it take me down, like ruin my mood.
Right. Yeah, the contrast of the comments and stuff that you can get is so funny. Because it can be like one piece of the same content and it's like, this changed my life. And then next one is, this is fucking garbage. I hope you die. You know? It's that's what I'm saying. You just got to do what feels right for you, because you're going to get shit on no matter what. So you might as well get shit on for the stuff that you care about.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I wasn't going to announce this on this episode, but because it came up, I was going to wait for probably another week or two, but I will be leaving Instagram. So I'm going to be completely social media free before the new year. That has been a goal of mine. As you guys know, this has been a goal of mine for a while. And I think I set that goal for myself close to a year ago. Yeah. And I have intentionally built up my business to where it can hopefully, knock on wood, survive and thrive, you know, being social media free. So you can always connect with me at DelaneyFisher.com, but I will no longer be on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook or Twitter. I'm interested to see what that is like. Wow. And I'm excited to kind of report back on what that will be like. And I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. I'm having so many feelings about that. Too. Of like jealousy, panic. I'm worried that I'm losing a follower.
Delaney really continuing to be better than me and you, Tay. And I don't like it.
Look, we get it. Jesus wouldn't have been on Instagram either.
We get it.
Jesus would have been using Voxer to spread the good word. You know what's kept me on there for so long too, though, is like I feel guilty for leaving, because look, it's not like I have a shit ton of followers. It's not like I have three followers, but it's a platform that I know, like I have been trying to share a lot of stuff about my clients. I obviously like share social or self-helpless episodes when they come out. And that makes me feel guilty that in order to really take care of myself and what I want to do, what I want my life and business to look like, that's going away. And I feel guilty about that, you know, cause I'm like, well, I don't want to be on this platform, but I know this is helpful in other ways. So it's been a struggle, but, the date is set and I'm deleting it. So feel
free to
say hi.
Taylor and I will continue to run in the hamster wheel for you and carry your load on our shoulders.
We all pop up on your Insta stories once in a while just to say hi to Instagram.
Post a nice photo of your boobs.
Yeah, in the background.
Give the people what they want.
That's another source of anxiety that comes from social media, is people posting pictures or videos of you that you did not sign off on, whether they're friends of yours or photographers at shows. I know that's a little more like show business based, but I think everybody has a friend that posts videos of them online, like on stories or whatever, where you're like, okay, I look terrible in that.
Right.
Could you not have asked me?
Right.
Right.
We're already trying to play enough whack-a-mole with ourselves and making sure we feel okay about what's being posted. And then you're trying to like make sure that anything else I keep thinking of the quote we've talked about on here that if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no.
Yeah.
I try to make sure I ask myself that before I post anything, because that way, if there are trolls, if there's whatever, as long as I'm good with it, that's all that matters.
Yeah,
absolutely. I've like, cause part of one of my goals, listen, my dream is I'm going to be completely off the grid at some point. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to do it, but that is my dream.
Yeah.
And I'm implementing slowly, but I did a fucking just Google search of me, and the amount of random shit out there is overwhelming. So anxiety ridden. I can't imagine what it is for you guys, because I'm not performing anymore, or putting things out there in that way. But I am slowly just reaching out to people, being like, hey, can you take this down, please? Hey, can you take this down, please? Hey, I'm going to be leaving the internet. Can you please take this down?
Right.
And oh my gosh, just knowing, even, you know what it is? It's like, I have restrictions with social media. I'm not on there a lot, but just knowing it exists is it gives me anxiety. Just knowing it's out there, collecting messages and comments, and I haven't looked at a lot of it in a while. There's random YouTube videos of me from 7 years ago doing weird shit. I'm just like, oh, that stresses me out. Like the more that I feel like I can control and contain that and just like shut it down.
Yeah.
The more peaceful I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some social anxiety facts to hopefully make everybody feel a little bit better. First off, it's normal to feel nervous in some social situations, like first dates, interviews before big performance, and it is more than just shyness. According to the Mayo Clinic, some signs and symptoms of social anxiety disorder can include persistent fear of situations in which you may be judged, worrying it's going to be a check for every one of these for myself. I'm almost positive.
Me too.
Worrying about embarrassing or humiliating yourself, check. Intense fear of interacting or talking with strangers. Fear that others will notice that you look anxious. Oh my God, this just happened to me. This just happened, and it's so embarrassing. I booked myself on, I had 3 shows in LA a couple weeks ago, and I was stressing, thinking, fuck, this was too much. How am I going to make it to the second show on time? But I had a mask on. All you could see were my eyeballs. And a waitress came up to me. She's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. I'm totally fine. She's like, okay, you seem like maybe anxious or something. And I was like, I was so self-conscious. Like, how could she tell from my eyeballs? But I must have just had like darting eyes or something, or you could just see it in my eyeballs and eyebrows that I was feeling stressed out. And it made me feel so self-conscious.
So self-conscious. I was outside with somebody the other day who I don't know super well. And I like sniffed, because we're outside around like nature and stuff. I just sniffed, and they were like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Am I? And then you're like, am I okay? I think Netflix posted this recently. I think that's where I saw it. But Netflix posted, or Comedy Central, somewhere posted some clip of Chelsea Peretti doing a joke in like the last month. I forget when and where I saw it, but there was a clip of Chelsea Peretti doing a joke about how like she likes to go up to people, like friends of hers who look like they're having like a great day or like really confident, and just go, oh my God, have you been crying? And I'm like, that's the meanest thing I've ever heard.
That is so funny. Mean. That is cruel.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Fear of physical symptoms that may cause you embarrassment, such as blushing, sweating, trembling, or having a shaky voice.
Shitting your pants. I was always nervous I was going to shit my pants on stage, because I was so nervous and it felt like I had to poop. Yeah.
We used to drink a lot.
Yeah. I never drank before going on stage, though.
Oh, you were afraid specifically on stage.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. My stage fright was so bad that I felt like I was going to shit my pants most times.
Yikes.
Do you guys, I blush really hard. It's my pale Irish complexion. When I get embarrassed, my face goes beet red. And that is so embarrassing because it's like, you can't hide it. Does that happen to you guys?
Yeah,
I think that's part of hypohidrosis, right? Or one of those.
Ugh, yep. Unfortunate.
Makeup covers it up pretty nicely for that's the makeup true. I use.
More symptoms, avoiding doing things or speaking to people out of fear of embarrassment, avoiding situations where you might be the center of attention, enduring a social situation with intense fear or anxiety, spending time, this is my number one, spending time after a social situation, analyzing your performance and identifying flaws in your interactions.
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
You guys do that?
Of course.
Of course.
That's my like number one hobby.
Yeah. Post game.
Post game recap. And I am the meanest coach to myself. Yeah. The fuck were you doing in there, Cook? I mean, I'm terrible.
Just and watching slow motion replays of you interacting with people. Circling you missing a fist bump.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, live footage of me trying to physically grab the words that are coming out of my mouth and pull them back into my face. It's the absolute worst. Expecting the worst possible consequences from a negative experience during a social situation. I feel that's so hard. And I wanted to just reiterate the things that Mike Birbiglia told us that, and I can't remember what he said that book is from, but it says, for a situation like that where you're spiraling, you're not comfortable with what's happened, ask yourself, is it true? Like this worst case scenario thing you're thinking of. Is it true? Is it definitely true? How would you feel if it weren't true? And what if the opposite were true? Mm-hmm. I think that's super helpful. If you're starting to spiral out of anxiety, I think that can be a good way to think about.
You guys want to know something also, kind of embarrassing?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I have a list on my phone. I have a list on my phone. I used to call it like the anti-anxiety, like, or the anti-spiral, whatever list or toolkit. Now it's just labeled stop. And anytime I'm feeling anxious about anything, I literally have to look at this list and read, or on YouTube, read the whole fucking list. And it is all the quotes and message sayings and everything that I know personally can pull me out of anxiety. So it's
that's not embarrassing. That's
amazing.
Share that. Yeah, with
can you not embarrassing, but it's titled stop. Like stop what the fuck you're doing. Like, yeah.
So I have to read all the quotes and stuff and reminders that I like to give myself. And then I have a list of activities that I know calm me down when I'm relax or when I'm stressed too and anxious, and I have to complete at least one of those before going back to an activity.
Yes, Taylor, question.
Why have you not sent that to me and Kelsey?
Yeah,
you know what it is? You know what it is? Because everybody's got their personal messages that work for them. So
cop out.
Quote that might pull
cop out. Send it to us right now.
Like, what Kelsey just mentioned, like the stuff from the book that Mike, you know, that didn't do anything for me. That wouldn't go on my list. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's quotes and sayings are going to be different based on what can pull you out of your own shit. Where, you know, I have stuff like this that I'll tell myself, you probably don't actually have to do this shit.
Yes.
That's like great.
You have good intentions. Let's see. How you spend your days is how you spend your life. That's a really good one. Is this supporting your goals and what you enjoy most? This is
send
one of many
it.
Things you'll do.
Okay,
send it.
I will.
Ooh, here's one that I would put on. We should just have a Google Doc that we all add to, honestly. Ooh, an anxiety Google Doc.
We could have an episode where we all share our anti-anxiety list.
Yeah.
Or whatever fun name you end up calling
it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
One that I would put on there is like if I'm worried that a person doesn't like me or is judging me or thinks I suck or something, I go, does this person actually know me? And if the answer is no, then I go, well, then I don't care. It doesn't matter because they don't know me. Also, I would just make a list of all the people who have been canceled and are fine. Because if you're worried that you said the wrong thing to your friend and they're going to be annoyed with you, think about all the people who were like, I really want to read that book. So you've been publicly shamed. I can't believe we haven't read that yet.
Oh yeah.
Have you?
I haven't heard of it.
Oh really? Oh, it's like so big, that book. It's about people who have been like basically like publicly shamed on the internet or like canceled, quote unquote, or whatever.
Oh, wow.
For like a bad joke they made or something like that.
Or like Rebecca Black, that Friday music video, that poor sweet girl.
Yeah. She's fine. She's on TikTok now.
I'm sure she's doing just fine.
She's doing great. She's doing great. Also, something Whitney told me once that I think about all the time is she's like, the people who would believe like whatever you're worried. I was like, oh, what if I'm just worried this person thinks this about me? And she's like, the people who hate you already hate you. Like anyone who would think that about you already doesn't like you, you know?
Oh yeah. That's good.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Kind of what you said, Taylor, were, does this person actually know me? The question I like to ask myself is, does this person actually have the life that I want? And it's always a no, right? It's like, yeah. I don't care what that person thinks. This is not, not my thing.
Right.
But yeah. We should all share our own list and come up with something fun to name it and have a group activity episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I think that'd be awesome.
We'll call it Quelling Panic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Anti-spiral list, I think I called it at one point. That's it.
I think it's got all kinds of shit on there.
Yeah.
I love that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Some physical symptoms of social anxiety. I mean, they're just symptoms of anxiety: fast heartbeat, trembling, sweating, upset stomach or nausea, trouble catching your breath, dizzy or lightheadedness, feeling like your mind has gone blank. I mean, it's never been a worse time to have anxiety when there's a virus going around that makes you short of breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. So rough. And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say, do you guys ever have that symptom of feeling like your mind goes blank?
Yes.
When do you experience that?
When I'm like deeply panicking, when like I feel like all my blood is on fire and like rushing to my brain, and I feel like it's like a wave of panic that like stops my ability to think clearly.
Wow. Okay. So that happens to me on stage sometimes, and it happens to me on this podcast sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really? Does it ever happen to you guys when we're recording?
Not when we're recording, but on stage sometimes.
Sometimes I'll start talking on the podcast and it's almost an out of body thing where I will hear what I'm saying and get in my own head of like, is what you're saying even making sense right now? And then my brain is almost short circuits.
Mine is definitely, my mind would go blank because of stage fright when I was performing. Mm-hmm. And the only other time it like can do that is when I'm at the deepest point of burnout. Yeah. And I can't retain information. And then I'm just like, what was I doing here? I don't remember what I was in this room for. But yeah, you know what? My mind has gone blank, not recording the podcast like this, or maybe not even in studio, maybe more likely in the studio. But live shows, any live shows that we've done. Boop.
Yeah.
Not super there. If you've ever seen me at a live show and I sound different than I do on the podcast, it's because I have stage fright.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. When I did my first set, which was like on a virtual show, but it was on a stage, after being in quarantine for like 4 months or whatever, I was shaking. I like couldn't believe how hard I was shaking. It was so upsetting.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then symptoms can change over time for social anxiety disorder. It can get worse when you're overwhelmed with social demands and you have to go to events and make presentations, et cetera. And it can also get better if you've been going to therapy or like practicing getting out of your comfort zone, but it's different for everybody.
Yeah. Del, do you want to read the causes?
All right. Causes. While it can be unknown, some negative experiences can cause it. Sexual abuse, bullying, family conflict, traumatic social interactions in the past, etc. Some people can get it from their parents, though there is no genetic factor. A child can get it from seeing one of their parents having it, according to Healthline. And some facts and stats regarding this. From Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are highly treatable, yet only 36.9% of those suffering receive treatment. Social anxiety affects 15 million adults, or 6.8% of the U.S. population. It is equally common in men and women and typically begins around age 13.
Mm. Comes with your period.
Comes with your period. So if you didn't have to deal with enough shit, there you go.
Yeah. I've talked about this. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Tay.
Oh, I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, but like my social anxiety used to be even worse when I was younger, and it got a lot better once I had to work, once I had to have a job, because I just didn't have a choice. But I was so nervous even to go into work, to be a cashier. Like it gave me, felt like stage fright.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Oh yeah. I have to interact with people all day. Oh God, I know. So stupid.
Stage fright at Ralph's versus
Soup Plantation.
Yeah. Stage fright at Soup Plantation. Now you're on a stage with thousands of people in front of
me. So stupid.
That's fascinating. Did you have social anxiety when you were younger, Kels? Or
yeah, I was gonna ask you guys if you can remember being young, because I shared that on the Impact of Teachers episode that when I was in my first school setting and it was time to go to recess, that gave me so much social anxiety. The thought of not knowing where the sort of parent figure, my teacher would be. And then I wasn't bullied growing up, but I did have, I feel like most kids going through public school, you have a couple bully experiences. And so I had a handful of the sort of typical like mean girls over the years, particularly in elementary school. I remember like a couple instances, maybe first or second grade, and then one when I moved after my parents divorced, we moved to a different city. And there was a girl who, and granted, I kind of look back and I'm like, I was kind of asking to be bullied because I really like made myself look so unusual for my age. It was in fourth grade and I had transferred schools and I was rocking like Princess Leia buns with big scrunchies around them. And this is when I was starting to get really into makeup. And so I went to Claire's and they used to have, I don't know if you guys remember, it was this glitter putty. They used to sell like glitter gel. And you could just smear it on your face or your eyes. There was roll-on glitter. And one of them had little reflective hearts in it. And I would put a heart under each eye. And so I looked like a pirouette clown. I was living my best life. I felt like I was so high fashion and I was happy with it. And I remember this girl who was kind of known as the school bully. Her name was Becky. And she said something to me like, this new girl in her Princess Leia ass buns or something like that. Like she roasted me really hard. She said I can't remember all of that she said to me, but she bullied me pretty hard for about a day. And then I found my new group of friends and they were sweet, but
did you continue to wear those buns?
I think I did. Yeah.
I was gonna say, did she kill the bun spirit, or did they make a comeback?
I mean, unfortunately for everybody's eyes, it did not kill the Princess Leia buns. It wasn't a good look, but for some reason, I just really leaned into it. If I can find a picture, I'll have who Myra share it on our self-helpless Instagram.
Please bring it back for an episode. Please just show up on one of the upcoming episodes with these buns in my
That needs to be. That. You need to find that picture and redo it as an adult.
Oh yeah,
I leaned in hard. I have to have a picture of it somewhere. But I think if you were bullied at all early on, even if it's just those years are so formative, and to be in a new social setting, especially like a new school, and have somebody pick on you, it can, of course, create social anxiety in new situations. Oh, yeah. Did you guys experience that at all?
100%. I had a horrible time making friends. I moved in fifth grade and I moved in sixth grade. And I had a terrible time making friends, and I was awkward. And it was like when I looked like I was like 14, but I was 10. And it was just like such a nightmare. I remember like, we got weighed in fifth grade and like some of the girls found out how much I weighed and like, cause I was like this, I'm like 5'5", 5'6" now. And I weigh like 135. And when I was in fifth grade, I was 5'4" and weighed like 120. Like I don't look that much different than I did in fifth grade.
You were like the tall kid in class.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to picture because I don't picture you as the tall kid in class, you know, because like you said, you're not very tall, like 5'5".
No, I'm not.
Is not considered tall.
Right. But if you're this age, I only grew like an inch and a half and went up like 10 to 15 pounds from the time I was 10 to now. So I just like got there and then everyone else caught up a few years later. But it was really awkward. So I was like, you know, people found out my weight. They called me like a cotton stuffer because I had boobs. But people were like, oh, do you like stuff your bra? It was such a nightmare.
Oh,
I had like people's like older brothers would like talk about like my chest and shit. It was horrible. It was so bad because all my friends were like flat because they were children. Like,
and it wasn't cool yet to have boobs developing. It was like, it was embarrassing to have boobs starting to come pop
in. Embarrassing. Yeah.
Oh God, people fucking suck, dude. Kids, young people can be real dicks. You know, I experience like a lot of, you know, I'm sure a lot of what people experience with like the normal stuff of being nervous about who am I going to sit with at lunch, that type of stuff. Remember as a kid, I took a Barney towel to the pool and somebody made fun of my Barney towel. And then I cried my mom saying, I never want to use this towel again because apparently I was too old to have a Barney towel, which was news to me because I still liked Barney at the time, but apparently it was no longer cool. Like whoever my age bracket had moved on from Barney. But the majority of like the really tough social anxiety that I had stemmed from having really bad skin or broken out skin, having acne, and having digestive issues, like going through the IBS stuff a while back. Yeah. So yeah, the like trying to cover up the skin and the, oh God, I don't want to go to a sleepover because then like my makeup will rub off. And then, you know, like all those spirally thoughts, right? Oh my gosh. Going to like camp in sixth grade was my nightmare. Going to like overnight camp with the class, I did not want to do that shit. That was like, okay, I'm going to be with people 24/7. I'm already like super self-conscious about, you know, how I look and like, we're going to be getting ready for bed together, you know, all that. They're going to see me, all that. And the digestive stuff can be so hard because you might be sitting in class and like your belly starts making all kinds of crazy noises and stuff like that. And then it makes you feel more nervous and then it gets worse. That was an unfortunate, you know, part of like not wanting to be in social situations either. But it stemmed from just a lot of the stuff about my body that was changing that I was like really super uncomfortable with. And yeah, people making comments about it and noticing it, you know, and asking about it. And
yeah.
Oh, you cannot pay me enough to go back there. No way.
Oh yeah.
No. Not enough money in the world.
Nope.
And then because Delaney won't send us her list, I looked up on HuffPost, these are 13 useful expert-backed tips for dealing with social anxiety. Number one, go into a social setting armed with a strategy, which I think is pretty good. Bill Koch, a Chicago-based clinical therapist who specializes in anxiety disorders, says as damaging as being too in your head can be, some preparation and intent can be very beneficial. Like, identify places and people that will help you feel the most comfortable. Basically, go into every social situation acting like you're going to do mushrooms there. And if you'd feel safe enough to do that.
So no.
So literally nowhere. Literally nowhere. Number two, give yourself a calming mantra and don't be afraid to use it. Like, easy, 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 no one cares, or not a big deal. I definitely use no one cares.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no one cares. It's fine. You're fine. Oh, yeah. No one cares. This will pass. You're fine. Always have an escape route. Love it. Love an escape route.
Yeah. Love it.
I mean, I always tell people, I'm like, oh, I might have to leave at this time, or I might have to do this. If you know how much time you can spend with a person, just say, I can only hang out from this time to this time. Mm-hmm. Or if you just know you're swamped that day, like, always have a way out. Burn off adrenaline in advance. Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that one. Have a good workout, have sex, embark upon a house cleaning session to tire yourself out.
Ooh. Interesting. Maybe I just need to like rub one out before I go to a show.
There you go. I kind of, yeah.
Chemically, that's not a bad idea. You're releasing endorphins. You're kind of like tiring yourself out. And then maybe you get there and you're just pleasant and relaxed. Chill.
Right. 100%. Become an all-star listener. That's great. That's a really good one. If you have social anxiety, just get really good at listening to other people and asking people about themselves, because that makes everybody like you, and it puts way less pressure on you.
And you'll have to think of like one question every 2 minutes.
Yeah. Have a few go-to conversation topics. Yeah. Great. Breathe through any anxiety that may pop up. Breathing, so important. Baby step your way into social situations. That's actually good. Avoiding isolation and setting incremental goals can make all the difference. In time, it becomes easier to make bigger leaps into socialization. So like putting yourself in a situation that is time limited or only mildly uncomfortable and building from there. I've definitely done that. Pause to take in your surroundings. Challenge your distorted thinking, which is kind of like what you were referencing with our episode with Mike Birbiglia. Yeah. How likely is all this? How bad would it really be? Could I handle it? What is more likely to happen? Is this true? What is the worst that would happen if it's true? Et cetera, et cetera. So good. Don't overdo the alcohol. Interesting. Okay. I mean, I know some people that alcohol is very helpful for them with social anxiety.
It's a slippery slope. Yeah. I definitely like feel much looser, less anxious in a social situation. But if you have too much alcohol, and then maybe you look sloppy or you say something you didn't want to say, then the next morning you wake up and you're full of regret, which gives you even more anxiety because you're like, fuck, I misrepresented myself because I got too drunk. You never want to feel like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a good point. And then resist the urge to avoid social situations. Defeating social anxiety requires a daily commitment not to avoid uncomfortable social situations at work or in your daily activities. That's really good. I mean, I think that's really helpful because I've definitely gone through stretches where I'm just avoiding everything. Like, this strategy will also give you the opportunity to see that it won't be the end of the world if you do embarrass yourself. I think that's really true. Social anxiety only gets better if you put yourself in situations where you can show yourself that you're capable and nothing bad's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember the story I shared on here of when I had that meeting with a TV exec, and she said that she was like, well, your hair's so long. And I got so in my head because I didn't know how to respond to that, because it was like, well, do I say thank you? But does that look weird if I'm saying thank you, because I didn't have anything to do with my hair growing? It's just what hair does. And so I just creepily touched my hair and was like, hi, magical. What the fuck? I mean, that's
like My Little Pony.
Like, I'm my own My Little Pony. I'm just brushing my tail. I mean, that's social anxiety in a nutshell, of getting in your head, being afraid to say the wrong thing. And of course, I spiraled so hard afterward. I was like, they're never going to give me a show. I looked like such a weirdo. Why didn't I just say thank you? Social anxiety.
Oh my God. It's like when you go to the movies and they're like, have a great movie. And like, yeah, you too. Oh, I mean, you're not going to the movies, but you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
Those types of things.
Such a great Brian Regan joke.
Yeah. So does he talk about that?
Yeah. He has a great joke.
You too.
Oh, yeah. You too. Oh, you too. Yeah. Yeah. And, oh my God. Who is it? There's another, another comic that has a really funny bit about like, somebody meeting somebody that he admired, and then he said, okay, have a good night, and he said, night night.
That's so funny.
Night night.
Fucking night night. Holy
God.
Like, you know, a public figure that he really admired. Yeah, it's just oh man.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to avoid, but there's so many great tools that you can, you know, use, like when you're going into situations. And I've like mentioned that the majority of my anxiety now is just the fact that I know I'm going into most social situations having completely different lifestyle choices than everybody else. And that can make me feel anxious, because I'm like, I just don't feel like fielding questions about this stuff. Yeah. I don't feel like people pointing out things about it. I might not have a lot to add to the conversation. And it's just happens to be like all of the choices that make me happy are just not super the norm.
Yeah. No. Going vegan has given me social anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big one. Yeah. That's probably number one.
Oh yeah. Cause you feel difficult.
You feel difficult. You feel like you're inconveniencing people, and it's just, so you just want to avoid it.
Lots of questions. People see your plate. They ask questions about why you're not eating certain things, and you got to get into a whole conversation about it. And like, look, I didn't feel like having this conversation. I bring my own food everywhere just so I can avoid it.
Right.
I don't feel like talking about it. And then, you know, not wanting kids. That's another one people will ask. Like, it's really just about all of the lifestyle choices that seem to, you know, surprise people. And then you have to kind of get into this like conversation about what your choices are. Right. And it depends on like, look, if they're inquiring and it's respectful and stuff, that's fine. Like, I don't mind sharing that information, but it can get to be a lot, you know, where you feel like you can't even just go be somewhere without being interviewed about your choices, you know? And it's like, I don't know. What else can I add to this conversation anymore? I'm like a fucking vegan minimalist entrepreneur, not having kids, not going to be on social media. I don't really drink much. Like, I don't, what's left?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Who wants to start a business?
Yeah. I don't do anymore. But yeah, I don't know. But then it can be fine and it's not a big deal. So a lot of it's also in my head, but.
Right. Well, I'm going to look for that photo of me in fourth grade, because there was a while. I would also wear blue lipstick. Did anybody else?
No. No one else did that.
Nobody's ever owned.
I'm going to stop you right there.
But you. That's a you thing? I feel like you guys with shit I do. Delaney? Nobody's done that ever, Kelsey. No.
It's my turn to be told that. But did you guys ever shop at Claire's or the Icing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
For like necklaces.
We stayed in our lanes.
Like jewelry. Like a purse.
But neither of you dabbled in any of their makeup stuff. None of the glitters, none of the... They had a blue raspberry lipstick that smelled so good. And I would straight up wear blue lipstick in fourth grade. No wonder that chick was like, what's up with the new girl? Like, she looks fucking crazy.
Oh my god.
Got red glitter hearts on her face. I had 45 butterfly clips, like, pulling my hair. Oh my god.
Can you picture me or Taylor wearing glitter with blue
No.
I don't think it happened for,
No.
Oh, Taylor?
But I didn't know you guys in fourth grade. I mean, everybody has phases. Who knows?
I was like this.
No. Okay.
I was really rough in fourth grade.
I was very, very quiet growing up.
Yeah.
Quiet, shy kid.
So was I, but my makeup was very loud. Volume at 100, apparently, at age 9.
I love it. I think you should bring some of that back. I think you could.
I agree.
I think you could totally pull it off.
I have my makeup course in 2 days, my makeup workshop, and I should just surprise the girls and be like, we're gonna do this look from fourth grade, and they'd be like, I want my money back. What happened?
Yes.
Today we're doing 1998.
All right, we have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Sinful Butterfly 94. It says, relatable version of self-help. I just started this podcast only a few episodes in from the beginning, but I love it. It feels more relatable because they do realize how strange some of it sounds, but are still helped by it. Thank you, girls. Oh, that's a great review.
Good.
Yeah. Oh,
have I not said that from day one about feng shui, where I'm like, look, I know this sounds fucking bananas and dumb. However, I think sometimes it can help, but I don't have scientific evidence. I like it.
Look, we're all into some weird shit. It's whatever helps you. I got a fucking list on my phone to tell my ass to calm down. Like, we all
I
do
think
stuff.
That's brilliant.
We all do stuff.
I agree. As always, please leave us an iTunes rating and review if you haven't yet. It keeps the show on the top charts. It helps more than you know. So we love it when you do it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you guys have any segments? Did you just say that?
I feel like this whole episode was a segment.
Yeah. No, I did not just say that.
Oh my gosh. I just had one of those. I just talked about blacking, where our mind goes blank on episodes. I literally just had my out of body experience. Like, oh, is that what she just asked us?
No, you're all good. You're all good. I have a helpful tip. I went to the dentist a couple days ago. Apparently, I have been flossing wrong my whole life. And I like to think I take very good care of my teeth. And so I feel like if I've been flossing wrong, then maybe this will help a lot of other people, because maybe other people are flossing wrong too.
Supposed to floss your mouth, not your butt, gals. How to get a dad joke in. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Flossing wrong.
It's taking every ounce of strength I have to not just leave the Zoom meeting and delete you as a contact on my phone. Number one, apparently if you're using those little floss picks, like the disposable one-time ones, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently those do more harm than good. So if you're using those, don't use them. Also, they're really
the
lots
straight
of
ones?
Environment. They're like
reasons,
the little plastic where like one end is a toothpick and the other it's almost like a little harp. Yeah, with
that's but I just started using those. I love them.
Don't use those.
Why?
So they're really hard to control, and most people are popping them up between their teeth, and that's damaging your gums. Also, they're bad for the environment because it's all this plastic
that
you're using. But that's one of the big things. Apparently, one way I've been flossing wrong is I've just been kind of ripping the floss straight up, like getting it up there without really thinking about it. But if you're doing it hard like that, you're damaging your gums, and it's counterintuitive to flossing. I've always thought that it was to get food out from between your teeth, which it is, but it's massaging the gum and cleaning the individual teeth. So you want to hug your tooth with the floss and move up and down the side of the tooth slowly 4 to 5 times. And the only time that you're doing that sort of back and forth motion, which I think we all kind of associate with flossing, right, is like the seesaw back and forth. You only want to do that getting into the pocket, like getting the floss up between the teeth so that you don't do that, the pop. You guys know what I mean when I say
pop? Who has time for this?
I know, this is so
much. Oh. I went to the dentist 2 days ago. since trying this way of flossing, it takes me like at least 4 minutes to floss my teeth now. It takes so much longer than what I was doing, but you can feel a difference. You're like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it.
I've also heard you should floss before you brush.
Yes.
Yeah, I sometimes forget and do it afterward. But yeah, you are. I think you are supposed to do that.
Who fucking knows? Just brush your teeth the best you can. Oh, and look, there's a lot of great eco-friendly floss out there that come in glass jars. I have a brand that I like that's actually on my website on a little eco-friendly starter kit you can grab. But I'll have to share that with you because I really love it. It's so nice.
Anyway,
a little glass.
Just a helpful tip. I don't know. The older we get, if you get a cavity, it fucking sucks. And I don't have dental insurance, so I pay for that shit out of pocket. And I just figure I floss every night. But if you're not doing it right, then it's kind of a waste. So right. I'm deciding, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it the whole 4 to 5 minutes and do it right. But I didn't know I was flossing wrong.
Wow. That was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well,
thank you, Kelsey.
It's a new segment called What Did We Learn?
Right.
What did we learn this week?
Learned some shit. Tay, what do you got?
I got nothing.
It's all good.
Nothing? I got nothing.
I have a good shit. The past couple of weeks, I've been doing a lot of painting at night, which was one of my activities that's on my list.
Yeah.
It calmed me down. So I've been doing a lot of painting. I like to paint. I'm a weirdo. I like to keep bottles and paint them and turn them into vases. I like to repurpose a lot of stuff. I like to buy old canvases from like places like Goodwill or thrift stores and then bring them home and paint over them and make something big. They actually can be quite more affordable than buying giant new canvases and stuff. So I've just been doing a lot of that kind of stuff. I painted a clock. I've been doing weird things. So that's been fun that's and so helpful. Nice. And it's something that I don't always make time for, but I've been making an effort and like making my supplies very accessible and all that. So it's just easier for me to hop in there. In the evenings, instead of watching TV, I'll do a little painting first and then just some good shit.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
You know, try it.
Very cool.
Try it.
All right. Well
this is great.
Yeah. This is nice to talk about all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Well,
all right.
We all have it. Do you have social anxiety about this episode?
Of course. I have social anxiety about every episode we record.
Yeah, same.
It's kind of what I was saying before about Instagram and all that stuff. The bigger our numbers get for the podcast, the more anxiety inducing it is. When we first started and you feel like it's this little group of people listening, it's so different. But now you're like, oh God.
Yeah, I've realized that. Obviously there's a publicness to our job, you know, and I've realized that I'm a private person and want to be a private person, but in public. So I'm trying to find the happy medium with that, you know,
well,
very
put, well said.
strange thing to balance, but
yeah,
anyway. Well, all right. Well,
we hope you guys have a great week.
Yeah. Love you guys. Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We really appreciate it and would love anything you can do to help the show grow and get the word out. So if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, that helps us move up the iTunes charts. If you can tell a friend, a coworker, a family member, anybody that you think would love the podcast, you can also screenshot an episode and share it in your Instagram, in your Instagram stories, anything helps. Also, if you want more of the show, if you want bonus episodes, if you want to be able to be more interactive and help choose podcast topics, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. You guys can follow me on Instagram at Kelsey Cook Comedy, on Twitter at Kelsey Cook. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, which has links to my online makeup course. You can listen to my album, Savor It, on Spotify and iTunes. And you can watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. How about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me at Taylor Tomlinson on Instagram and Twitter. My website is ttomcomedy.com. And you can watch my 1 hour special streaming on Netflix right now called Quarter Life Crisis.
Awesome. And you can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. That's where you'll find information about my one-to-one consulting and my online courses. So basically, if you're a business owner, podcaster, or comedian, and you're looking to either start those things or grow those things, you can reach out to me for more information. I also have an email list at DelaneyFisher.com where I share my favorite tools, tips, treats, and free shit. And then we just want to say a big special thank you to our wonderful editor, Emma Erdbrink, and our fantastic associate producer, Humaira Nawaz.
And you can find everything that we all just mentioned at selfhelplesspodcast.com.